Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Fiction, science fiction, horror, fantasy, crime, LGBT, thriller.
You have now entered the House of Mystery with your hosts, Eric Shapiro, David North Martino, John Copenhaver, and Al Warren.
Heard on KCBA 106.5 FM Los Angeles,
102.3 FM Riverside,
and 105.0 AM Palm Springs.
Now joining us on the line is David Elfin, and we're going to be talking about his book, Left for Dead. Thank you for being here, David.
Glad to have or to be on the show, Al. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
David, first of all, this story, this was quite a wild story. David Larson and Terry, his wife. How did you get involved in this story?
It started when I actually knew Terry when she was divorced. She was, I wouldn't call her a friend, but she was an acquaintance. And so I knew her at the time of her abduction. And so I went through the process of knowing someone that may have been murdered, because when she disappeared, there didn't seem to be a whole lot of hope for her. So it was a pretty traumatic thing, even as an acquaintance. And then after she recovered, I had written a previous book. I asked her if she would, I want to collaborate on the book, and she said yes. So that is how the book came to being.
Wow. So now, what was the basic premise of the story? So how did this happen? Now, she married this David Larson, and things changed quickly.
Yes.
What exactly was it that changed so much in her eyes?
I'm not sure anything really changed, but I think what it was is that David Larson was very good at concealing his real motives and what was in his dark heart. He really believed that you could run a family like a commanding officer in the Army, and if one of your personnel doesn't follow orders, they should be punished. And so things started pretty early that way. On the day of their wedding, after the ceremony and people were socializing, he looked at Terry and said, "Now I own you." and that's kind of how it started. And he really did believe that he owned her.
Well, how long did they date before this then? Like, how long did she know him?
She knew him actually a long time. They hung out with friends. They would just sit out late at night and drink beer. And then he went into the Marines. he learned military ways, at least from his standpoint. And then when he came back, he kind of revived his interest in her at the same time, age-wise, her biological clock was running. And so she was kind of looking for someone who was good enough, so to speak.
Well, so there was no indication that he was kind of had a bad temper or anything like that?
He was a very, very typical narcissist socially, life of the party, talkative, you know, likes to be the center of attention, a little bit of a show-off, but she didn't see the dark side of his narcissism yet.
Mm-hmm. So what were some of the things that she had to go through after they got married, after that wedding day?
Well, she learned that her control in the relationship was almost zero. He had total financial control of everything. He kept strict records of how much or how little money he gave her. One time he woke her up in the dark of night because she was 25 cents off in her accounting of what money he had given her for the week. And she had to go back and remember that she had put a quarter in the rocking horse that her daughter rode on at the supermarket. So, because he was very concerned that she may have used that quarter to call someone. He was very, very paranoid about the fact that she may not want to be with him. And so he was always looking to make sure that she had no way of contacting people from the outside.
Oh, so he was actually trying to isolate her.
Oh, yes, very much so. They didn't really have a social life. But, I mean, just to give you an idea of what a Jekyll and Hyde this David Larson was, he was the president of the church council. He had the people in his church believing that he was a good guy to be running the church government. So all that was cleverly disguised behind the smile and the back slapping and all that.
Wow. Now, did she have any family or anything like mother, father, brother?
Yeah, she grew up in a what I would say would be like a typical Italian family, you know, close-knit, everybody's, you know, loud and talkative, and, you know, everybody loves each other, and I would say she had a very normal life. And I think that's all she wanted in her life was a normal life, some children and a happy family. And unfortunately, she picked the wrong guy.
Yeah. But going through some of this emotional and abuse, did none of her family really pick up on it?
The father didn't like him right from the very start. He thought David was a wise ass and that he was, I mean, even on her wedding day, he told her she could, you know, put this thing away and not do it, but it didn't happen. So, no, she actually went against the advice of her parents.
Now, did their relationship at this time, did it become physically abusive?
Not that I know of. Okay. Oh, well, physically, excuse me, yes, it did become physically abusive, like on their honeymoon.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
What were some of the things he was known to do for her or that she claimed he did?
Well, he would slap her a lot, as if she were like some kind of worthless person. They were going to go on a hike in Hawaii, and he wanted her to wear her bikini hiking, and she said, "I'm not going to wear my bikini hiking, and it's not what you wear." And he just, like, slapped her upside the head, you know. and she was just devastated. I'm not sure he did it really hard, but she did it hard. He did it hard enough that she was really, really crushed by it, and it almost ruined the honeymoon for her. And for her, the violence would come in waves. He'd abuse her for a while, and then he wouldn't abuse her for a while. When she was pregnant, he wouldn't hit her, but after she was pregnant, it seemed like she was fair game. So it just was, you know, however he felt at the time.
Now I've heard he used to make her keep the door open when she showered or used the bathroom. Is that true?
That wasn't in the book, and that's not anything I know of.
Okay.
I do know that. Once when he was really starting to get paranoid, he reversed the locks so that he could lock her in the house. She couldn't get out the front door.
Wow.
found herself climbing out the window one day.
Oh, God. So how long did she stay married to this guy?
Good question. I would say... I'm going to guess 6 years.
Okay. So
something like that.
Something like that. Okay, that's good. Well, so how did she get away from him? What initiated her leaving him?
Finally the violence was just too much. Plus, he did get arrested for what he did. So she stayed at a women's center, and they helped her get started, and she filed for divorce, and he made all kinds of insane claims at the divorce trial to try and swing the other way, and the judge just wouldn't have any of it. He tried to claim that she was an escort, and just anything to throw the people off. But she did get divorced. The violence occurred on one of her domestic visits for the kids. The attack that's in the book occurred when she went to pick up her daughters at his house. And this whole idea of domestic violence and violent partners. She's had some legislation passed in Wisconsin where if a husband or an ex-husband is incredibly violent like David Larson was, the wife doesn't necessarily have to go to that person's house to deliver the kids on visits, and a judge should decide whether or not visits are even appropriate for people like that, because she was attacked when she went inside his house.
Oh.
And she never did want to go into his house, but he conned her to coming in saying, oh, the daughters are right here, and they weren't. They were in another room.
Oh. So now she met another guy, Nick, and
yes,
did she end up ever getting married to Nick, or how did that relationship?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That was a good relationship. Nick is a good guy, and he always, tried to take care of Terry. So, when she was abducted, she was, I think she was dating Nick. I'm not sure if she was married to him yet.
Okay. So now what was David's, relationship with the new boyfriend, or did he know about him?
I don't think he knew a thing about him. I had no indication that he actually knew anything about him.
Okay.
Nor had they met. I'm pretty sure they never met.
Okay. So now, what was David going to do by abducting Terry? Like, what was his intention, do you think? What, did he want to just kill her or capture her?
That is an interesting question, because one of the real blind spots of out-of-control narcissists is that they think people believe every single word they say. And so he believed he could talk his way out of it. I think he thought that he was going to get rid of Terry, claim ignorance. Oops, she just disappeared. I have no idea where she's going, and I guess I get the daughters now. It wasn't a very well laid out plan.
No. And how many kids did they have?
Two.
Okay.
And then she had a third child with Nick.
Okay. Sorry, David. If I may just clarify a point that you made there, because you said you weren't quite sure about his intention for the abduction, but then you later said you thought he was probably hoping he would kind of get rid of her and then plead ignorance. So what would the getting rid of her involve, do you think? Do you think there was a plan to kill her?
I think he did have a plan to kill her. Just knowing the personality type, he probably planned it out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
And that no one would find her body, and therefore they couldn't really put anything
on
them.
Is that a supposition? Is that something that we believe may have happened, or is there evidence to back that up, that the intention was to kill her?
Well, he denied everything, of course. So I think you have to look at the crime and what he did and everything that happened. I think you could see that he wanted her dead. This was not an attempt to just hide her for a while. This was an attempt to kill her and conceal where the body was. So I think you would have to
talk us talk us through the crime? What was it he actually did that then would lead to a conviction?
Oh, well, he beat her bloody with a baseball bat and then put duct tape over her mouth and her nose and then stuffed her in a garbage can full of snow and then drove and then put that garbage can and then sealed that garbage can with duct tape and then drove it to an unheated storage locker about 40 miles away on January 31st. It was about 15 degrees, and he put her in an unheated storage locker and walked away.
And how did people find her?
The police immediately yanked David Larson out of his job because they got a cell phone message, a garbled message that they couldn't quite understand from Terry, and so they went over there, the police, and they found the place just, the living room was covered in blood, and so they immediately pulled David Larson out of his job and took him down to the police station and started questioning him. But he claimed ignorance.
Wow. So how did she actually get out from being? Because she obviously lived through this.
The police found a receipt to a storage locker.
Okay.
And in his wallet, and they called the locker, and it was like a kid who was just minding the store there, and they asked him if he could hear anything. He said yes, and they said call 911. And after that, there was a gigantic convoy of police cars from Illinois and Wisconsin going to this place in near the Illinois border.
Yeah. Now you talk about the what happens to people that are abused and what happens to male abusers themselves. What can you tell us about what resources are there for someone like Terry?
Well, it depends on the size of the metropolitan area where they live. The larger cities have quite a few more resources than small areas. But in large towns, they have like action groups, and it's a collection of some of the big players in town. And so you'd have a police captain, you'd have a district attorney, you'd have a psychiatrist, you'd have a psychologist, you'd have a real estate tycoon. And all these people would be available anytime there was a major crisis. For instance, if there was a woman whose life was in danger, the people in this power group, so to speak, would put together their resources, and the DA would say, "Okay, I'll call the police and make sure they find this guy," and the real estate guy goes, "Yeah, I know. I've got at least one apartment where she could stay for a month or two," and you know, they kind of go together like a super team to help the victims, especially the ones that are, you know, suffering from imminent harm from someone. And so there's that. And of course, at the centers, the women's centers, which is the mainstay of what helps women throughout the country, it's a combination. There's counseling for the kids, there's counseling for the women, and they do everything, including trying to find them work, because a lot of the women who come out of these situations are financially destitute.
And as for the abuser and someone like this guy here, what happened to him? And then kind of what do we counsel people like that, or where do they go?
Well, first of all, David Larson is put away for life, attempted murder, transporting across state lines. It was a number of things. But as far as the abusers, it's very interesting. I had a long talk with a psychologist who worked with court-ordered abusers. These are guys who, they're not in jail, but they've been bad, and they now have to go through 6 months of a therapy. And so I just naively ask her, I say, so do they meet with you, once a week? And she says, no, we don't meet with me. We meet in a group. And I'm thinking, okay, we meet in a group and we all just kind of talk about it and everything is fine. So I asked her, so why do you have guys in a group? And she says, oh, that's easy, role models. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Oh, no. A brand new guy who comes in there is going to see guys who really are on the straight and narrow and actually hearing success stories. That means a lot more than talking to a psychologist. So what happens is the brand new guy comes in, and the psychologist says, oh, Joe, glad you're here. Come on in. You don't have to do anything. I just want you to sit down. I just want you to listen. I want you to take everything in. We'll have you say something next week. But for now, you've done all you have to do the first session is just be here. Have a seat and relax. And they get to see the format. And they get to hear these guys say, yeah, I had a pretty good week until someone said this to me and I kind of lost it. And I knew I shouldn't have done that, but, I did. And now I've had to, tell them I'm sorry. But so these guys go on for 6 months and they actually can renew if they want to. So at the end of my interview with this psychologist, I said, What percentage of these guys who get through the program, the 6 months, are okay? And she blew my mind because she said, at least 80%. She changes minds. Now, people that are excluded from her group are the sexual abusers. Those guys are put in a whole separate category. But of the guys who are abusive physically like that and get through the whole program, she said at least 80%. And I was really surprised. But you see, when you're working with narcissists, the big hurdle is to get them to go to therapy.
Yeah.
And they won't do it because it goes completely against their personality. Why do I need someone to tell me how I should act?
Right. So you think that the programs are pretty successful and they're a good thing?
Sure. If the guys go through the program, yes, absolutely. They have a 24/7 phone number they can call at the hotline, and someone will pick up, and someone qualified to talk to them will be talking to them right away. they don't really have a relationship with the psychologist who runs the group, other than the fact that they see them once a week with the group.
Yeah. Now, so when you wrote this book, what were you hoping that people would get out of the book?
I was hoping that people would see various ways where they could get involved in fighting this problem, because there's a lot of people that are necessary to get things done. For instance, the women's centers always have a need for household items and things for women. So they always have a need for paper towels and shampoo and women's products and kit food and canned goods, all that, all those kind of items are things that come off their operating budget as far as what they need to purchase. And so if you're giving household goods and, you know, necessary personal items to people, you are in effect giving cash to these women's centers because they would normally have to purchase that stuff anyway. So people could get involved with that. They're always looking for people to either answer the phones or to become volunteers for hotlines. They're also looking for people who will be trained so that they can be a I can't remember the term, but there's a term for a helper among the organization that gets attached to a victim, and they walk them through everything, like calling them the day before a court date and say, okay, we got to do this and this and this. Do you need a ride? Is there anything I can do? They help them the whole time. The abused woman does not have to do a lot of the searching for the stuff. They have staff people who will walk them through that. And so a person who wants to volunteer could start by answering the phones and eventually graduate to helping victims. So there's quite a few different areas where people get involved to support these organizations.
Wow. Now, do you have a website, or is there a website dedicated to this or to your book?
No, I'm just available on Kindle. By the way, the title of the book now is Beaten and Left for Dead. This is a second publishing under a second publisher. So the new title is Beaten and Left for Dead.
Fantastic. And you're working on something new now, or?
Oh, and I just published a book of political cartoons titled Donnie and Kimbo Unhinged. It's a parody of a famous leader, Donnie, visiting his friend Kimbo, just all kinds of shenanigans going on as Donnie takes his vacation, and there's insults back and forth, and it's madness. It's a little bit off the wall.
Wow, you better be careful. You might get a lot of hate mail from that.
Yeah. Well, it's all in good fun.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty amazing story. Now, we're going to have your book, and we'll have that right on our website so people listening can just go one click, pick up the book.
Oh, thanks.
Again, now, the book is called Beaten and Left for Dead. And it's
Beaten and Left for Dead.
Perfect story of Terry Gendusa Nikolai, I guess?
Gendusa Nikolai, yes.
Perfect. Great. Well, thank you. Our guest has been David Afflin, thank you very much for being here.
Thank you very much, Al. Appreciate it.
To find out more about our show, guests, or to listen to past shows from our archive, please go to www.houseofmysteryradio.com.
Show's over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Well, good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
You've been listening to the House of Mystery radio show. To find out more about our guests, hosts, or shows, go to www.houseofmystery.com.
Show is over for now.
Was it as good for you as it was for me?
Yeah. Good night.
This has been a production of Something Weird Media.
I'll be back.